Hello, it's Marion Pallister, Chair of Pax Christi Scotland and Justice and Peace Commissioner here. Pope Paul VI's quote, "If you want peace, work for justice," has become a mantra for those of us in the Catholic Church who try to work for peace. And in the past few weeks, the need for justice has, of course, focused on the war in Ukraine and the contraventions of so many human rights, so much evidence that suggests Russia has committed evil war crimes. But what do we do about it? We can pray, but we know we're always asked to act too. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Russian novelist and Soviet dissident, who helped to raise global awareness of political repression in the Soviet Union, said many things about evil, not surprising perhaps considering his harsh experiences in Soviet prisons and in exile. One quote in particular warns us that in keeping silent about evil, we rip the foundations of justice from beneath new generations. Thinking about the warning not to keep silent, I remember that poem by Pastor Martin Niemöller, a German whose views cartwheeled from supporting Nazi and anti-Semitism to speaking out against the Nazis from the confines of a concentration camp where he was interned for objecting to the control of churches. You'll have heard the poem. "First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out, because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me." Sympathy for the Ukrainians isn't enough. If we want justice for them, we've got to speak out. If we want the peace that emerges from justice, we've got to speak out. If we don't speak out, how can we expect anyone to speak for us? If this war has shown us anything, it's that we're all vulnerable, and only our insistence on working for justice will bring about the world peace we all want so much. Of course, justice can be interpreted in many ways. In a handful of countries, justice still means a death penalty. But our Lord saw justice in a very different way, calling us to love our neighbours, to bring healing into broken situations, and to offer forgiveness and restoration in face of wrongdoing. He didn't want retaliation. Remember the woman caught in adultery? He suggested that the man who had committed no sin cast the first stone at her, and all her accusers slunk off. How innocent are we? What if we reflect on our actions? The South African post-apartheid attempts at peace and reconciliation are so much closer to what our Catholic social teaching would suggest than some horrific form of punishment for the perpetrators of the atrocities we're seeing on our TV screens and social media feeds. We're called to protect the rights that all people have to those things required for a decent human life. So let's persist in seeking a non-violent response to aggression. Jesus makes it clear in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers." It really worries me that the UK government has been generous in its provision of arms to Ukraine, yet much less so in its provision for refugees. There were those demands for visas, for form filling in a foreign language, for the requirement for those wishing to host Ukrainians to give names before the process could start, the need not only for the help of charities expert in the field, but almost the need of a law degree to put a roof over the head of a fleeing mother and child. Thank God the Egyptians didn't have so many stipulations when Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus there for safety when they were refugees fleeing from Herod. So is any of that just? The hoops the Home Office has put Ukrainian refugees through and the legislation it's pushing through via the Nationality and Borders Bill that will see very harsh treatment of refugees from around the world put into force, all that challenges what we recognise as justice and challenges peace itself. Solzhenitsyn's warning that we're storing up trouble for future generations by ignoring today's evils hovers over all our actions. The Westminster government's draconian stance on refugees reminds me of W.H. Auden's poem Refugee Blues, written in 1939 on the eve of the Second World War. It's the voice of a Jewish refugee fleeing Nazi Germany, reporting back to a loved one that they were finding as little empathy in New York as we are offering Ukrainian or any other refugees today. There's a very moving reading of the poem online by the actress Sheila Hancock that brings home the tragedy facing those torn from their home only to be confronted by red tape and bureaucracy, deaf ears and blind politicians, dyed-in-the-wool ordinary folk afraid for their jobs if the tidal wave of people seeking safety is allowed to break on their shore. Part of the poem reads, "The consul banged the table and said, 'If you've got no passport, you're officially dead.' But we are still alive, my dear. We are still alive. Went to a committee. They offered me a chair. Asked me politely to return next year. But where shall we go today, my dear? Where shall we go today? Came to a public meeting. The speaker got up and said, 'If we let them in, they'll steal our daily bread.' He was talking of you and me, my dear. He was talking of you and me." Yes, written in 1939, but could have been penned by a 2022 rapper about the refugee situation today. Pope Francis says, "The real answer is not more weapons, more sanctions, more political military alliances, but a different approach, a different way of governing the world, now globalised, and of setting up international relations." Can this conflict be the real wake-up call for the world? During COVID, we wondered if the two-year hiatus in our lives would herald a new normal. We didn't, of course, foresee that a war would follow the pandemic. Perhaps the fact that we began to consider a new normal means that Pope Francis's words won't fall on deaf ears, that the obscene amounts of money squandered on weapons, both conventional and nuclear, can be diverted into health, education, clean water and social housing throughout our common home. Is it so bizarre, as Pope Francis suggests, that we should consider a universal basic income, a regular payment given to everyone in society to create a minimum income floor? That would lead to no more oligarchs, no more non-dom squillionaires. And Finland has carried out a trial, and it seemed to work. There are so many evils in this world. Maybe it's scary to try out the good stuff, but it would certainly make our common home a more comfortable place to be. On April the 11th, 1963, just 6 months after he had intervened in the Cuban Missile Crisis, advising dialogue, not aggression, Saint Pope Paul John the 23rd issued his encyclical Pacem in Terris, Peace on Earth. In it, he reminded us of the basic human rights of all men and women, of their right to respect, the right to work. He also pointed out that with rights come responsibilities. He wrote, "To claim one's rights and ignore one's duties, or only half fulfill them, is like building a house with one hand and tearing it down with the other," adding that the foundation of order is truth, which must be brought into effect by justice. I reckon Mr. Putin needs to read this document, paying particular attention to this sentence. A regime which governs solely or mainly by means of threats and intimidation or promises of reward provides men with no effective incentive to work for the common good. And perhaps Mr. Johnson should also cast his eye over it, paying particular attention to the part that emphasises refugees' rights to enter a country in which they hope to be able to provide more fittingly for themselves and their dependents. Pope John wrote, "It is therefore the duty of state officials to accept such immigrants and, so far as the good of their own community, rightly understood, permits, to further the aims of those who may wish to become members of a new society." A new world order, or simply bringing into being one prescribed almost six decades ago? Oh, and by the way, St. Pope John XXIII also took a pop in this document at what was then termed the arms race, saying that people were living in the grip of constant fear because of the competition between nations to possess nuclear weapons. He sought the realisation that true and lasting peace among nations cannot consist in the possession of an equal supply of armaments, but only in mutual trust. Let's try that one. Let's try a combination of Pacem in Terris and Pope Francis's Fratelli Tutti. What a world that would be. Meanwhile, I hope you'll share in this prayer for peace, composed by the Archbishop of Naples and recited by Pope Francis at a recent weekly general audience. Forgive us for the war, Lord. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Lord Jesus, born under the bombs of Kiev, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, dead in the arms of a mother in Kharkiv, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, in the 20-year-old sent to the front line, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, who continues to see hands armed with weapons under the shadow of the cross, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us if, not content with the nails with which we pierced your hands, we continue to drink from the blood of the dead torn apart by weapons. Forgive us if these hands that you had created to protect have been turned into instruments of death. Forgive us, Lord, if we continue to kill our brother, if we continue like Cain to take stones from our field to kill Abel. Forgive us if we go out of our way to justify cruelty, if in our pain we legitimize the cruelty of our actions. Forgive us the war, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we implore you to stop the hand of Cain. Enlighten our conscience. Let not our will be done. Do not abandon us to our own doing. Stop us, Lord, stop us. And when you have stopped the hand of Cain, take care of him also. He is our brother. O Lord, stop the violence. Stop us, Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening.